Dan asked, and I asked first service about who made it till midnight, but I said, who's raising their hand for all the people who aren't here because they stayed up past midnight? That's what I want to know. Goodness. Well, guys, if you have your Bibles or anything, your device, turn to Matthew chapter 7. And when I want to start our new year with a chilling tale of a future event, just as the Bible has foretold and continues to foretell so many things via prophecy, and Jesus did, this is an event and this is a situation that will one day happen, and I want to read about it this morning from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on it, and its fall was great." You must know Jesus to get to heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to talk to you today as well about making that decision. But for, I would assume most of you today have, and you put your faith in Christ and been baptized and repented and turned from your sins. You must know Jesus. You must be getting to know Him. And getting to know Jesus and walking with Him and abiding in Him is a lifelong process. And to know Him is to be in and to get to know His Word. That is the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we start January the 1st, 2017. Now, I hope if you're a believer that you have a great devotion life. You, yourself, your family, Sunday school, small group, you're getting into God's Word. But at the same time, you've heard us talk about, and today as a church, we are starting in 2017, and the Church of God here has existed for 105 years, and I'm sure maybe the church has done this before. We're beginning our seventh year. We've never read through the Bible in a year. You've heard about that, right? Today, we start that as a church. And I encourage you individually or as a couple or as a small group, but if you don't have a great devotion life, I encourage you to start this individually. You can do the whole Bible, or you can do just the New Testament or just the Old Testament. We as a family have devotions, etc., but we're going to go through the New Testament in one year as a family. It's going to take about 10 minutes a day to do the readings. That's it. There are 1,440 minutes in a day, if my math is right, and I think that giving God 10 or 15 minutes in His Word is just certainly fair to Him. And so we are going to, at the end of today, pass those out, and here's the deal. Over the next year, all of 2017, every time you come to church or every time you're in the property, we're going to have every month mapped out of every day what your readings are for that day. And so you're going to get a chance to take one of those home with you today, and I would love to see the vast majority of us going through God's Word together in one year. Why is it important to be in God's Word? Well, my goodness. Let's see what John says in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. Jesus says we must know Him to get into heaven. Jesus is the Word made flesh. We can't say, and you can't say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I don't read the Bible. I don't read God's Word. I don't really care about reading it and knowing it and living by it. That's not an option we have. You reading and knowing, and guys, this is not some berating to get you to do the Bible in a year. Maybe you already have a great devotion life. But if you're a churchgoer, you're a believer, and you don't know God's Word, when I say to you, hey, what's Ephesians mainly about? What's Proverbs about? What's Romans say about sin and about salvation and redemption? I don't know. That's not an option as a believer. I'm not here to make you feel guilty, but now's the time to start if you don't know. Us knowing God's Word is of eternal importance and eternal consequence. And that's why it's one of the things you hear us talk so often about as believers. And guys, let me tell you, I have tried to be good. I've tried to do all kinds of stuff as a Christian apart from God's Word, and I fail. I fail, I stumble, I make bad decisions, I have a poor life. Even I, at 40 years old, as a believer, as a pastor, if I want a surefire way to get off base, to struggle with sin, to let the old man creep back into my life, if I want any of those things to happen, all I have to do is let my Bible study and reading of God's Word either not exist or not be important to me. That's a surefire way for lack of abundance and fullness and peace and joy in my life is to be too busy to be in God's Word. It is dangerous. It is so important. So if you're a Christian this morning, telling you to be in God's Word is like telling an employee to go to work. It's like telling a welder to weld or a banker to bank or it's like telling a factory worker to work. It's like telling a politician to lie. It just is. That didn't go very well. As a believer, not studying, getting to know, reading, and living in God's Word is just simply not an option. God's Word talks about this. Let's see what 2 Timothy has to say. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, guys, you need taught, you need rebuked, you need corrected, and you need trained, and so do I. I will amen that from the pulpit. I still need taught. I will always need taught and rebuked, corrected, and trained. We as believers, to not be in, to not learn, to not know God's Word just simply doesn't work. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says that, "For the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates and divides even soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Sometimes we don't want to be in God's Word because we don't like what it says. That doesn't make it any less true. It doesn't make it any less necessary. It means that our heart, if you don't like to read God's Word because you don't agree with some of it or you don't like what it says about some stuff, you need to get on your knees and repent from that. You need to say, "I've got a heart problem. Why do I not want God's Word, which is God's love, God's plan revealed, which is Jesus, me getting to know Jesus by knowing His Word. Why do I not want that?" Because God's Word is here for our own good. It's because God loves us. Trying to live life without being in and knowing God's Word is like trying to drive on a country road at night with the headlights off and there's no moon and no stars. You're going to crash. You're not going to get where you need to get safely. It was like me driving to church this morning with ice all over my windows. I got to Euclid and Route 9. I had to put both windows down because I couldn't see out because I didn't want to take the time to scrape my windshield. Guys, trying to live without God's Word, you're not going to get where you're going. You're not going to get God's best and His abundance, His fullness, and it's not safe. It is not safe to live life without God's Word. I mean, let's be honest. How many principles of God's Word can we look at and say, if you ignore them, you're going to cause harm and destruction to your life, to your body, to your marriage, to your finances, to your health? Amen. But when I follow God's Word, I am safe and good in life. Life will still happen. But there are so many black and white principles in God's Word that we need to understand are for our own good. The psalmist says this. He says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Trying to go through life without being in and learning and living God's Word is like when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's pitch dark, and before you turn a light on, you're going to stub your toe or run into something. If you're going through life that way, and maybe you've not stubbed your toe real bad yet, you will. Because God's Word is here for our good because He loves us. Psalms also says, next slide please, "How can a young man," and that's not just a young man, that's for all of us, "how can we cleanse our ways? By taking heed according to God's Word." Let me tell you, I grew up in church, good family, I gave my life to the Lord young and felt my call into ministry, but then I ran from God for so long. And so I really didn't know the Word very well. Let me tell you the best thing I ever did at 30 years old when I gave my life back to the Lord and I repented of my sins and turned from them was, man, I dove into God's Word like I'd never done before. And I got to learn it. And I realized I needed to saturate myself with the Word of God, with what it says about life, with what it says about every area of my life. And it's the greatest thing I ever did and still do, is to learn and try to live by God's Word. And you know what? I don't always measure up, but it doesn't change the truth of God's Word. We'll talk about that before we leave today. Society and our world and even some organizations that call themselves churches are straying from God's Word because it doesn't match up with what they feel or want or like or want to be. Listen, just because I don't measure up or you don't measure up or we may not always think it's easy to abide by everything God's Word says, it doesn't make every word of it any less true. So even when I don't measure up, it's not God's Word that's at fault. I am. God's Word is truth. So a couple things this morning that you and I need to understand is, number one, we need God's Word to change, okay? I still need lots of changing, and so do you. And if you're here today and you think I'm pretty good, well, maybe, praise God for that. You still need to change, and we need God's word to change. And even if you're in a great spot right now, try to not read or be in God's word for a month or two straight and see what happens to you. You're going to have problems. We need God's word to change. I put together kind of a statement of faith, and if you want to come up afterwards and snap a picture as opposed to writing this down, but if you're taking notes, this next slide is something that I would recommend you write down or take a picture of afterwards, or I can email you this slide. But I put this together this week, and I believe this is so true, and don't read ahead, stay with me. God's written word is crucial for your evangelism and the nurture of your faith in life. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's primary tool for the renovation of your character and the development of your Christian conscience. That's not directly from God's word. That's what I firmly believe. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's primary tool for the renovation of your character and the development of your Christian conscience. Well, I'm saved. I'm a believer. I come to church. Why do I still sin so much? Why do I lose my temper? Why do I cuss? It might be because you're not diving into and living God's word. The Christian conscience we have, the Holy Spirit will always use God's word to speak to us, to convict us, to rebuke us, to train us, to mold our character. It doesn't just happen. You think that just by coming to church today you leave and you're going to make great decisions all week? It helps and it's necessary, but guys, it is God's word that speaks to us, that changes us. Permanent life-directing character change does not ordinarily come solely by a mystical sweep of the Spirit through your being. Rather, you're changed by learning God's will by His Word and choosing it as your way of life by His grace and Spirit. So many times I will have people come to me, maybe new to church, new believers, and I've come and I came to the altar and prayed and not much seems to be changing. I'm like, are you reading God's Word? No, not really. Are you praying? How much are you praying? Have you fasted? No. Okay, are you in a group, Sunday school? Are you studying God's word? Are you learning God's word? Are you hiding His word in your heart? No. Then you're not probably going to change. Guys, God gives us salvation in an instant, but the process of becoming more Christ-like, being sanctified, being holy, living this Christian life, we call it, that is by getting in, learning, and living by God's word. If you have any other way, let me know. Because that's the way. We need God's word to change. We need God's word for our faith, for our life, for our evangelism. The Bible is God's tool to develop your character and your Christian conscience, your Christian worldview. And if you find yourself with a worldview or with beliefs that don't line up with God's word, that's something I want you to come see me about. That is very serious. But the permanent life change, that freedom, that joy, that abundance, the fruits of the Spirit, those come by being surrendered to God's will and by choosing His word as your way of life. By choosing God's word as your way of life. In John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, Jesus says. Sanctify us. We're sanctified by God's truth, and that's by His word. There is no other way to live abundantly, to live victoriously, to be set free from your sin, to be set free in His grace, to experience God's best than to learn and live by His word. There's no other magic pill for it. We need God's word to change. Number two, you need and I need God's word to live. We need God's word to live by. There's no other standard to live by that is good and that is always right. And let me tell you guys, you know what happens. If we aren't using God's word as our basis for our faith and for our life, the world and TV and the workplace and friends and others and family and all that we do will creep in. It hurts my heart when people, when I see people, even church-going people sometimes who, well, I believe this, and it's not one of those gray areas. It's black and white against what God's word says. And I don't understand that. 1 John 2 and 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. So it's our goal to strive to be like Jesus. Well, how in the world are you and I going to know how Jesus lived and what He thought about men and women or money or religion or tradition or love or sex or forgiveness or worship? How are we going to find that out in any other way other than in the Bible? We're not. It's the Bible is where we find out all of God's truths. God's truth. And so One thing that I have found, and there are other verses in the Bible that support this, but I want to encourage you. I know that some of you may work different shifts, and some are morning people, some are evening people, but here's something I have found to be true, and I'll say this as your pastor. Guys, if you want to have a better day, if you want to have a better week, if you want to start your day the right way, get in God's Word and have prayer time and have quiet time at His feet before you start your day every day. I know the kids want breakfast. I know you're busy. If you're like me, when you wake up, the mind starts going. But if you want to make better decisions, if you want to have your conscience be right, if you want to be led by the Spirit, if you want to be grounded to start your day like you should, no matter what you have going on, start your day with the Lord. And if you're, you know, the alarm goes off at the last minute, just set it for 15 minutes sooner. You'll live, I promise. David says this. David said, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." I have found I have got to start my day with the Lord. I've got to ground myself in the truth of God's Word to start my day. See, I don't get this magical, I'm a Christian, or I'm a pastor, so I'm going to make every right decision and be kind to everybody and never think something I shouldn't. No, I don't get that. You don't think I do because I'm a pastor. I get that when I wake up and I pray and I read God's Word and I spend time with the Lord. That's how that comes. That's how that comes on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's not magical. I mean, there is supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, of course, but again, God's Word is how He reveals to us. Your conscience and how you live and how you react and act in the moment and as you live your life is developed by spending time in God's Word. Hear that again. Your conscience, your how you act, react, how you live is developed. Your Christian character is developed by spending time in God's Word. Sometimes I think that, and guys, listen, you having given your life to Christ, you think that intuitively in every moment you'll know right from wrong in this world, but I don't believe that's necessarily true because this world is constantly at us with lies and deceptions and twists of God's truth, and we must be grounded and rooted in the Word of God to be in this world. It breaks my heart that so many believers and organizations calling themselves churches, and you won't hear me criticize churches or pastors, but organizations calling them churches have strayed away from the truth of God's Word this day and age, and it breaks my heart. And I have friends who struggle with same-sex attraction who are homosexual, and I want them in church. I want God to change them. Just like I have sins I need God to continue to work on me with, to resist temptation, to change me. We all have sinful natures. But now we have organizations calling themselves churches sanctifying sin by marrying people of the same sex. How can there be the mystery of Christ and the church, the bride and the groom? There can't be. If marriage isn't sacred and holy and put in place by God. And so that's a good example of straying from God's Word. And I'm not being judgmental or closed-minded. I love every person. I love the gay person as much as the straight person and myself and you. And I love everybody. But truth is truth. And if this gets hurt on the website and our building gets spray-painted, oh well. That's okay. Because you're loved and welcome here. Everybody is. But God's Word is still truth. And He wants us to come out of our sin. And that is truth. I have seen organizations calling themselves churches on their website that support a woman's right to choose. I support life. I support that before God knew me in the womb, before I was in the womb, He knew me. And that's true for every life. That's just truth. And listen, if that's something that you've done, if you've repented from it, it's over. And if not, you can repent. You can be forgiven when you repent with godly sorrow and turn from the sins. I've committed a lot of sins in my life, but I've turned from them. I'm still turning from them. And God's Word is how I know what's right and wrong, and how I know that I'm loved and forgiven, and how you can know that you're loved and forgiven. That's the truth of God's Word. But where God's Word also pushes us forward is it calls us to change. It calls us to surrender our hearts and lives and will to Him because He loves us, because His way is better, and it's for our own good, and He loves us. And I take God's Word. Listen, there's one thing I can guarantee you will never change here, and that's preaching the truth of God's Word. That is that there are things in God's Word, everything in God's Word is right, and there's a lot of black and white truths that are becoming unpopular in society and sometimes aren't even popular among us, but if God's Word says it, that's what we will stand on forever in this church. I can promise you that. Again, I'm not promising you I will always 100% measure up to what God's Word says, but it doesn't change that what it says is true. Paul stresses in Galatians 3 and Colossians 2 and again in Romans chapter 14 that there can be things that appear religious and that appear pietous and things that appear spiritual and you know the whole good people thing, but those are often the path away from grace and truth. God's word is what we will always stand on. And how can we stand on it as our foundation if we don't know it? We can't. And I can't tell you how many times, not just for my own life, but when I'm talking to people who aren't believers, who are my mission, who are your mission, we need to know what God's word says. If you're here this morning and you have people ask me questions and I don't really know the Bible, you need to get to know God's word. I beg you, for your own good, for the good of the church, we need God's word to change. We need God's word to live. And our third and final point I want to stress to you as you read God's word, how important it is to pray before you're in God's word, to pray as you read God's word, and to pray after you're in God's word. And on these things that the ushers are going to pass out to you in a moment, this is our January 17th Bible guide, whether you do the whole Bible, New Testament, Old Testament. There's also an application on the back, an acronym called SOAP, about Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And I want you to read and connect with that as well, talking about reading Scripture, observing and applying and having prayer and asking God. And I want to speak to that for a moment as well. Pray that God gives you a humble and a teachable mind as you read His Word, that God will reveal truth to you through His Word. And if you are at a point this morning where you don't care, you don't agree with everything God's Word says, guys, I want you to pray to Him that He'll change and renew your mind. Not just as you read God's word, not like a robot, that God will reveal His love for you, His grace to you, His truth to you, and that He will change the way that you think as you read His word. That's something that you need to pray as you read God's word, that your joy will be renewed, your passion will be renewed, your circumstances, that God will rejuvenate your heart with joy and understanding as you seek Him through His word. Can we have our ushers come forward this morning? I want to pass these out. Every family or every individual can take one. And if you choose to take home and do nothing with it, you already have a great devotion life, that's fine. But if you're not really spending a lot of time in God's Word, and guys, I love the Keys for Kids, I love the Daily Bread, I love all that, but if your time in the Word every day is a 90-second Daily Bread devotion, that's not enough. It's not. I'm as busy as any of you, most of you, but I need more time in the Word than that. So we're going to pass these out. Everybody take one. And my gift to you this morning is I'm going to do our New Testament reading with you today. We're going to get January 1. You can just go home and watch football and eat food and enjoy your day off because we're going to do our Scripture reading for January 1st together today. And you'll see for the New Testament, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew 2 verses 1 through 12. And what's cool is I'm getting out of the way for you all the names that are hard to pronounce. So you don't even have to do those. We're going to have our Scripture reading together and start the year off as a church in God's Word. Matthew chapter 1. It says, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, who begot Jacob, who begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Joram." By begot, that means gave birth to in the lineage, in case I'm sure you know what begot meant, but just in case. "And Jeroham begot Uzziah, Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Elikam, and Elikam begot Azor, and Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for which child which we have conceived is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoke by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where this young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Was that less than 5 minutes, probably, for our New Testament reading of the Bible in a year? And so, guys, I just wanted to read God's Word together, and we may do that every Sunday for the whole year. We may do the New Testament, we may alternate back and forth, but I want to encourage you again today, wherever you are, especially if you have already put your faith in Christ Jesus, you have got to be in and learning God's Word. It is crucial to you, it is crucial to us as a church, that you know and get to know the Lord by getting to know Him and His Word. Would you guys stand with me today? I want to have prayer with you as we prepare to sing. Heavenly Father, I pray today in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would convict our hearts, Lord, about the time that we spend in your Word. And Lord, that we would think about all the time that we spend doing other things, Lord God, and are we giving you the first fruits of our time? Are we giving you the first fruits of our day, Lord, when we wake up conscious, Lord, and when you have woken us up and given us another day of life, that we give you the first fruits of that day each and every day? And God, I pray for those that are here this morning that need hope. I pray for those that need to hear that they're loved. I pray for those that need direction in life. I pray, Lord, for those that need convicted, that need, Lord, taught, that need to know, Lord God, and to sink in, Lord, to the riches that are in your word, Lord, for the wisdom in Proverbs, Lord, for the truth of the Gospels, Lord, for, Lord, the wisdom, the history, the prophecy, the relevance of the Old Testament, Lord, for the direction of life that are in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and all through your word, Heavenly Father, that, Lord God, we as a people would be learning and knowing and living, Lord, by your word, that you would, as a church, as individuals, sanctify us by your word that is truth. And of all the stuff, the lies, the twists, Lord, all the things that we hear in our daily lives out in this world, that we be a church that is grounded in the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.